power of help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 141.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Acts of the Apostles and there of chapter 4, the first 22 verses. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 4, from 1 to 22. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest of all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Less, who will be leaving us as they hope to move to Chilliwack this week. Mr. and Mrs. Joan Vandenbosch, who were blessed with a well-born girl this morning. And Mrs. Johanna Grisnick, who had eye surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee who art holy, who art righteous, who art just, who dost sit in thy throne in the heavens, far above all principalities and powers. And we, as the creatures of this earth, dwelling upon thy footstool, and thou knowest all that takes place here below, there is so much that is grieving to thee. For thou hast made man upright, but we have sought out many inventions, and thou hast created us good. Thou hast made us in thy image, in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. And the evidence that we have turned our backs unto thee is so great day by day. And then it is not only that which is taking place in the midst of the world in which we dwell, but it is also that which is evident before thee in our own hearts. For thou lookest on the inward parts, O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of us. For we have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses in our father Adam, so that there is no breath, and so that there is no moving, so that there is no will, so that there is no desire after the true and the living God anymore. O Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word, even in these moments, how that thou in one moment has taken a man who was lame on his feet and who was not able to move himself. Thou hast in one moment cured him. Thou hast raised him up. He has gone into thy house magnifying and glorifying thee. Then we have heard of that name by which that he was healed. Lord, could it please thee also to look upon us and upon our children? For we also are so immovable We have no power from our own side. We can sit alone and beg for all that is here below. But we have no need for that treasure that is in heaven. And there is no desire after thee, the true and the living God. But thou who leadest men to repentance, that thou may grant us that life in our souls from the dead. That we also may go forward into thy house, leaping and praising thee. Then it would be that in the morning of thy holy day, that we would rise with a rejoicing in our soul, because it is thy Sabbath day, and that we may go up with the multitude to the house of the Lord. Then it will be the joy and the delight of our souls when the institutions of thee may be commemorated here below. Lord, we ask thee that thou would so look upon us and upon our children. It would be so to the honor and to the glory of thy great and thy holy name. Magnify thyself then in the poor days in which we are living, wherein Satan's devices are multiplied amongst us and amongst our children, so that our fears are so many, that we will be taken and that we will be ensnared, and that we also will die as we have been born. Lord, that thou wouldst take us then by heart and by hand. Thou knowest all of our sin. There is not one of us that is able to put his hand in his own bosom and to take it out clean. We are indeed from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. We have no right to call upon thee. And yet thou dost say, call upon me in the day of thy trouble. I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Glorify then thyself within the hearts of each and every one of us. Look upon our youth and upon our children, and that thou wouldst be their instructor. School does come to an end in this week. Lord, wilt thou bless the instruction that they have been given, and wilt thou supply also for our instructors there. But wilt thou be the blessed, great instructor of our children, of our teachers, of each and every one of us together. The parents, that thou wouldst work amongst young and old with that same spirit of Pentecost. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wilt thou look upon us in all the needs and cares also of this life? Thou hast given new life in the midst of the congregation. Thou hast spared mother and child alike. Do humble them together as parents, as grandparents, as family, and that thou may watch over also this child. Could it please thee to give, that this child may be born to be born again, and that all the children also in the midst of the congregation may learn to fear thee and to seek thee in the days of their youth. But there are also those who have become old, and thou knowest then the body that is breaking down, and that is experienced also by her that has received surgery in the week that is gone by. That thou may bless the means for her eyesight, and may thou bless her also this day with a token of thy favor, of thy presence, and of thy nearness. Do remember all those that have become old, the widows, the widowers, those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones. Thou knowest also where that they are, the trials, the tribulations, the sorrows of this life, that they may also be sanctified, Because we go each one to our long home, and we need to be converted by Thee. Oh, we need to be stopped by Thee. Bless then the means that may be for our eternal welfare. There are also those who hope to be united in this week in that bond of holy matrimony. Oh, that Thou may remember all those that travel back and forth, and wilt Thou bring safely to their places and home again. And could it please Thee to remember these two young people and all their desires and all their intentions, and bring them that they may together dwell in our midst, and that they may be a blessing and be blessed together among us. That Thou may remember all those that have special needs. There are also those that will be leaving us. They have been in our midst. Wilt Thou remember them in the way also that they have chosen to go, and may have been also not without Thee, and that Thou may bless them in the congregation in which they hope to dwell. Wilt Thou look upon them in the future, all of our young people, our young families. Wilt Thou give that tender fear to dwell in the hearts of our young parents together, that we may have that feeling realization day by day, that we have no continuing city here below, that we may learn what is important in our life and what is not so important in our life. And that we may seek with our children that one thing that is needful. Go Thou with Thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world in this day. Those that may labor also in our own area, the students where that they are, wilt Thou supply for them in all of their needs. And wilt Thou give that Thy word may have free course. Lord, open Thy word also unto us in this morning hour when we are to bring a little portion thereof. Oh, Thou knowest that word that we hope to speak in this morning. Oh, that Thou Thyself may go with Thy word. Oh, that it may be as a sharp two-edged sword. Oh, how we need Thy Spirit, both in speaking and in listening. Strengthen us in the body. Give us what is necessary in our minds. Take away what hinders to speak and to listen. But oh, that Thou Thyself would open our hearts, that the warnings also that we read in Thy Word, and which we must bring in this morning hour, may also be sanctified, that our hearts may be pricked, and that we may go from this place different than that we have come in. O, increase the number of Thy true church among us, amongst young and old as we go on, each one of us on our journey to that great eternity. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise and by His might put all His enemies to flight. With shame and consternation, His haters, haughty though they be, shall at His august presence flee in utter desolation. And what follows, we make the following announcements. This is the second wedding announcement of Joshua Busicum and Emmeline Kopilar, who hope to be united in holy matrimony this Thursday, June 29th, in St. Catharines, Ontario. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by this Tuesday, June 27th. And we remind everyone that Reverend DeLeo hopes to preach for us this coming Wednesday, June 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus said that there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. They shall dwell together in the same house. They shall live under the same roof. The one shall be taken, and the other left. They shall sit together at the same table. They shall partake of the same food. The one shall be taken, and the other left. They will sit together in the same school. They will study together in the same classroom. The one shall be taken, and the other left. They will sit together in the same church. They will listen together from the same pew. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And what does Christ say? He says that these, they shall go away. They shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Thus, what a great difference that eternal home shall be of those who have lived so together and worked so together here all their lifetime. What a great difference, heaven and hell. Eternal happiness and everlasting misery. Eternal life, eternal death. Eternal rejoicing and an everlasting sorrow, a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. What a great difference. And where will that difference begin? Where does that difference begin? That does not begin in eternity. Oh, you say, we will see that difference. We will see that difference on the great day. When Christ, he shall raise all men from the dead, and he will sit on that throne, and he will judge, and he will make a division as a shepherd, we read, is dividing his sheep from the goats. Oh, what will that be? When we will rise from the dead, when that great trumpet shall sound, and we will be placed either on the right hand or on the left hand. What a great difference. Say, is that now the first place that difference is seen in this world? You say, maybe no. Because we see a great difference in the world. Then there are those who call not upon God. Then they are living out in the world the sin which is living within their own hearts. But we are different because we go to church and we read the Bible and we bend our knees and we live different. Or do we not live different? We ought to live different because we know different than the world. But now that great difference that is not divided by the walls of the church, but that distinction that is going also even through the congregation of the Lord in this world. Oh, how necessary that we are examining our own hearts, laying ourselves next to that which we may read in the Word of God. And such a solemn examination that we are called to lay before you also in this morning hour. The words of our text you can find in the portion that was read to you, and that is in Acts 4, and thereof the first part of the 16th verse. Acts 4, verse 16, only these words: what shall we do to these men? So far, the words of our text. What shall we do to these men? This is the question of the Sanhedrin concerning Peter and John. And we wish to consider this question in two thoughts. First, the origin of this question, and secondly, the answer to this question. The question of the Sanhedrin concerning Peter and John. First, the origin of this question, and second, the answer to this question. What shall we do to these men? We say that is the question of the Sanhedrin. And why do we wish to speak about the question of the Sanhedrin? That is because just a few weeks ago, then we have also spoken to you about another question, and that was the question of the multitude on the day of Pentecost. That was the question of 3,000 persons. And thus today we wish to consider another question, that is the question of this Sanhedrin. And these two questions, they are made up of remarkably similar words. They are, children, just 7 words, each of them. And 5 of those those words in those questions are actually the same. Do you remember the question that we have considered together a few weeks ago? That question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what is this question? What shall we do to these men? Thus, the words, they are very similar words. And yet we understand that these questions themselves are very different questions. They come from a different source. They come from a different origin. They come from a different heart. They reveal different things. Sibboleth and shibboleth are hardly discernible in their sound, but they are two words that reveal two different tribes. And that was a matter for them of life and death. Thus, how close is our language to the language of Canaan? It is possible that we, in an outward way, may learn to speak something of that language of God's people. And yet it is not coming out of the heart of God's people. That we may speak something of that language, and yet it is coming out of the heart of a foreigner. What profit will it be for us if this is the way that we are traveling to eternity? That we come so close to the truth, and yet that we are missing it in the end. On Pentecost, Then we heard that question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? To whom was that question asked? Well, that was asked, you say, to Peter. It was asked to the apostles. They were seeking direction. That was a question, actually, that they asked through the apostles, asking the Lord Himself. Was that same now with this Sanhedrin? It is not. Because what do we read? But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" Thus, it is not men who bow their knees. It is not men who ask the Lord this question, "What shall we do?" But it is men that are asking themselves. They are conferring among themselves. They are discussing it among themselves. The Pentecostal question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What was it about? Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do about what? What shall we do about our sin? What shall we do about our iniquity? What shall we do about our fault? What shall we do about our guilt? What shall we do about the anger of the Lord, about the separation of the Lord because of our sin? What is now the question of this Sanhedrin? They say, what shall we do to these men? Why? Not because there is blame on us. Not because there is confession of guilt and feeling of this guilt in order that they may confess it to the Lord. But it is a blaming of others. No, it is not these men themselves that are the cause, but the cause of this difficulty, of this predicament that they are in, that is these men. What shall we do, therefore, to these men? Those are questions that sound then so similar, but they are actually so opposite. The one is coming out of a distress of the soul. The one is coming out of the need of the heart. The one is rising up out of its own guilt and a desire to be reconciled. And the other is rising up out of enmity. The other is rising up out of revenge. And do you know what is now so remarkable? That these so similar sounding, so very different in content questions, they are actually a reaction to the very same circumstances. Why? Because we read that Peter here, he speaks by the same Spirit. Do you remember the Spirit by which that they spake on the day of Pentecost? When we read that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what do you read here? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Thus it is the same Spirit by which the apostles are speaking here. It is the Spirit of Christ on the right hand of God, who is sending forth that Spirit in the heart, in the mouth of His apostles. We read here that there is an accusation of the same sin. Do you remember what that accusation was on the day of Pentecost? How that the apostles have accused these Jews, "Him have ye taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain?" And what we hear? "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, him whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Thus, the accusation that is exactly the same, by that same Spirit by which Peter has spoken on the day of Pentecost. Thus, it is the same law that Peter here is speaking. And not only so, but it is once again also that same gospel. It is that same name that he speaks of, in which there is alone salvation, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thus, we have the same Spirit filling God's servants. We have the same law being proclaimed, being declared. We have that same gospel being preached. And yet, the fruits, they are exactly the opposite. So we have heard that some, they have come down under that preaching. And here we read that others, they rebel. God's servants, they are not the cause of true conversion. When that 3,000 persons, they have cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That was not the apostles' work. That was the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Neither, on the other side, is it the apostles which are the cause of the deadness, of the laxity, of the rebellion of the hearers. No, they are preaching to those who are dead. They are preaching to those who are careless. They are preaching to those who have no desire. But what does the Lord say? The Apostle Paul, he says to one, "It shall be a savor of death unto death." And to another, "It shall be a savor of life unto life." Thus, how shall it be for us? What now took place? What took place on the day of Pentecost with that 3,000 that was missing here with this Sanhedrin? We have heard about it, children, didn't we? Do you remember what happened? What was the cause of their crying out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, you say, "I remember. I remember that we read there and that they were pricked in their heart." That is right. And where do you read that here? Well, you do not read that here anywhere. That was missing. That was lacking. There was no pricking of the heart. No, if you go on to the next chapter, we actually read something else. We read that they were cut to the heart. Thus, it is very different. And that being cut to the heart, that had also a very different fruit. What does that mean? That means that they were offended. that they were deeply offended. And we understand that the accusations of the law, they were very sharp. But they have taken offense unto those accusations, so that their hearts, they were not humbled under them, but they have upheld themselves, and they have taken offense unto it, so that they have become angry, so that they have become revengeful, so that they have taken counsel, we read, even to slay the apostles of the Lord. What is it? It is the reaction of the natural man to the accusations of the law. It is the reaction of the natural man when he is not pricked in his heart. This is the common fruit of the accusations of the law within the conscience of a person. Thus, let us lay ourselves next to it, whether that we speak or whether this lives only within our heart because we dare not to speak it. But let us lay ourselves next to these men. What shall we do to these men? Did they feel guilty? What do you think? They certainly did. Oh, they felt so guilty. If we go to the next chapter, we can read that it comes out. Because then they say to the apostles, ye intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Thus, every time those apostles, they are speaking, and they are speaking of that name of Jesus, then they are receiving offense because of the guilt that is lying upon their conscience. Do you feel guilty too? But do you know what they lacked? They lacked what we call sometimes compunction, that is sorrow. They lacked grief for their sin. That is now the distinguishing mark. That is now what was present on that day of Pentecost because of the pricking of the heart. But that was missing here. Oh, let us lay ourselves therefore next to this end. Where is then the fault? Where is then the fault? Why is that 3,000, they are crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the Sanhedrin, they are saying, what shall we do to these men? What is now the cause? Well, you see, it is the Spirit that did prick those 3,000. That is right. And, it is the Spirit that did not prick the heart of these men in the Sanhedrin. That is right. And then what do we say? Oh, then we say, well, maybe we do not want to say it out loud. Because we know that that is blasphemous. But we feel it in our heart. Say then the cause that does not lie with me, but then the cause that lies with the Lord. The cause that lies with the Spirit of the Lord. God forbid. As if the Lord Himself is responsible for our fallen nature. As if the Lord has some obligation towards fallen man. As if the Lord is unrighteous to show mercy upon whom He will have mercy and whom He will to harden. Where is now the obligation on the side of the Lord towards you and me? Say, but I was born this way. I could not help what Adam did. So be it. We were born in that way. But then we have a question. Does anyone force us to love the world? Does anyone force us to live with our back to God? Does anyone force us to have desires which are sinful? Are we forced? Or does our heart choose that way so freely? Do we not choose it because it is our very disposition? Do we not choose it so freely actually because we love that way? If we are forced, we are no longer responsible. If you force your children, parents, to do something that they do not want to do, if you force them, being stronger than they are not responsible. No, then you are responsible. But if we are not forced, but we go forward in our freedom, and we do this with all our heart, then indeed we are the ones that retain the responsibility. We did not lose our will in the fall. No, we retained our human nature. And we retained that ability to choose freely that which we do choose. That was not lost. In the fall, it is true. You say we are slaves to sin. But what kind of slaves are we? Are we unwilling slaves? Or are we willing slaves? Going forward to the desires of our heart, which are drawn out after the world, after sin, and after all that the devil lures us to? Is it not because our heart agrees that we retain our responsibility and our guilt? How long? Have you heard the preaching of the law? You say, I have heard it from my childhood. And the effect? Does your conscience accuse you by times? When you are here in the house of God, when you are walking over this world, you say, maybe. Yes, sometimes. As a matter of fact, I have lost sleep in the night because of my conscience. Maybe. Maybe that conscience has spoken so much that you could not but rise up in the morning and go to your neighbor and say, I am sorry. Will you forgive? What do you think, young people? You think maybe, well, that is now the work of the Spirit. He is now working in my heart. People will tell you that. Is that a mark? That we feel guilt? There is not a man in the whole world who does not feel his guilt. That is the common lot of all mankind. And yet, there is not a single tear, not a single tear of sorrow for that guilt. The Sanhedrin also was anxious, very anxious, because of their sin. But do you know what lived in their heart? In all their anxiety? Enmity. Enmity against the Lord Jesus Christ. How long have you heard the preaching of the gospel? You say that was since I was a little child. And did he never appear lovely in your eyes? Did you never see anything of his beauty? Did he never appear precious unto you? And why not? Is there anyone that forces you to despise him? Or do you go on in the world with your back to him and a message that you hear of him in perfect contentedness? Is there anyone that forces you to reject, to despise his mercy, to despise his grace? Or is it that you see in him no form and no comeliness and no desirability? And so it is freely by your own choice that you turn your back unto him. So it is with man by nature. So we say, what shall we do to these men? What shall we do with that word? What shall we do with that law? What shall we do with that gospel? In actually our predicament that it brings us in our own conscience. And how do we now answer this? Let us sing first. Psalter 4, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter number 4.
Thank you.
What shall we do to these men? Why do they have this question? Well, they are stuck. They are in a great dilemma. They have trouble. And that trouble that is within their own selves. And we wish to try to enter a little bit into what that trouble is, what is living now in the hearts of these men, that we also may lay ourselves next to it. What would they like to do with Peter and John? Oh, they would like to cast them into prison. They would like that the prison doors would be forever shut against them. That they would never enter again into the house of the Lord. Or they would like that these men would be slain. That their mouths, as the mouth of their master, that would be forever shut. Then they could be rid of them completely. And they would never have to hear this again. What again? Well, they would never have to hear again what's reminding them of their guilt. They would never have to hear that name again. The name of Jesus, whom they had crucified. Oh, if they could only carry out that desire that was living in their heart. But they cannot do as they would. And why cannot they? Well, they cannot for two very main reasons. Because there are very powerful evidences that are before them. What do we read? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Boldness. There is an unholy boldness. We hope, young people, that you are not bold. But this is so different. They see a boldness. These men are not educated. They are fishermen. They are not learned men. And yet, they are bold. They receive so much liberty. They receive so much opening. They receive so much power in that word. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, they could see, they could hear from where they came. That is that same power that they have heard in the years gone by. That power that they have so resisted. When he spake as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Thus, it was a word that could not be resisted. That was the fulfillment of the promise of Christ to his disciples. Because he himself said to them that he would give them a mouth and wisdom that all their adversaries would not be able to gainsay nor resist. And that is what we read here. And not only in words, but also the deeds. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They see him there. Did they know that man? Yes. They knew him. He sat at that gate. They knew him to be a lame man. They see him now. He is standing whole, just as the others, standing with these apostles. And their mouths, they are stopped. They could, we read, say nothing against it. They would say something against it if they could, but they could not. All iniquity, the Lord says, shall stop her mouth. And so they themselves, it has to come in their deliberations out of their own mouth. They say, for indeed, that indeed a notable miracle is done by them, and we cannot deny it. Thus, there is a testimony that is living within their own consciences, in their own minds. Not only so, but listen to their confession, for that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And thus, that is the second thing. It is not only known by us. It is not only seen by us. But it is seen by everyone. And so we are hindered from doing that which we would do to them. We are hindered from doing that. Why? Because it would fly in the face of the consciences of everyone that dwelt in Jerusalem. It is so plain. It is so evident. Congregation, the Lord, he has said once to one of the scribes, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Must we not say that also of these scribes and these Pharisees of the Sanhedrin? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Why? Well, they lived in a time wherein the Spirit of the Lord that was working with great might, the evidences, the testimonies, they were very, very great in that time. And now, their own consciences, they are testifying of the greatness of the power of Christ, even as he is sitting at the right hand of God, which they do not believe, but they can see it. They can feel it. They can hear it. It is coming forth even after they have crucified him. It is coming out, that power, within his disciples. Thus, these men, they are given a certain amount of light. That light that is shining all around them, so very brightly, and it is not only shining around them, but it is also shining to a certain extent also within them, within their own consciences. What we would say to those men, we would say, oh men, do not resist now that power of the Holy Spirit. Humble yourselves under that mighty hand of God. Oh, bow before him. Smite upon your breast. Confess your sin. Bow, beg of him that he would show mercy to you. Oh men, you are standing there. You are standing right on the threshold of the kingdom of God. It will go to the one side or it will go to the other side. Oh men, do you love your own souls? Do not then despise this day of grace. Do not despise the preciousness of this opportunity, or you will go lost forever. Agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way with them. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle is done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That is now their answer. That is their answer to their own deliberations among themselves. We will quiet these men, that they speak no more in the name of Jesus. Then we will not bring harm to ourselves by dealing with them too harshly in front of all of these people. And then they will also be quieted, and we will not have to hear any more about our own sin. Their answer, congregation, also we are not far from the kingdom of God. We are not far, especially when we are sitting every week under the truth so close, so close to the kingdom of God. Do you ever feel this? Several weeks ago, then we have laid before you that question of the multitude, of that 3,000 men and brethren, what shall we do? And we have asked you, was that also your question? And now this morning, we thought we will now try to lay something before you of the other side. Of the other side. It is the awful side, is it not? Of what is living now in the hearts of those who are sitting under law and gospel, and will soon go lost. The other side. And why go lost? Because the Holy Spirit, because He does not prick my heart? That is not what we say, do we not? But now that is not the cause. There is an enmity. There is an enmity that is living in our hearts, and there is a willful rejection of both law and gospel. Do you know what we are privileged with? Light. Light. We may hear that word from our youth, boys and girls. You listen in school, it is almost done now, 40 years. What did you learn in school? I mean, not for this life only, but what did you now learn of the Word of God? You hear that at home. You hear that in catechism, young people, in confession class. You hear that here in the church. So close you are. So close. You do not hear only objective truth. Do you know why? Because the Lord, in His goodness, He has preserved among also the subjective truth. The distinguishing between the precious and the vile. Do you prize this? Thus there is light. There is light, a certain amount of light that is also among us. That light that cannot completely escape the conscience of each and every one of us, our own mind. Are we ignorant of our guilt? Are there ever times that you sit in the house of God and that you say, I cannot deny it. Cannot deny it. Concerning your own guilt, I cannot deny that that is indeed the truth. I cannot deny that there is a blessedness in the people of the Lord. Oh, how close then. How close then we are unto that kingdom of God, that we are standing, as it were, upon the threshold. And yet, then we leave as we have come. And why? Oh, because we could not get our heart to bow. Because we continue to uphold ourselves and our heart that is so hard and that is so cold also to that blessed mediator. Why? Why? Because he came for sinners. And do you know that is offensive to us? That is offensive to us. Why? Because a sinner before God, in truth, is not what we see ourselves to be. And so we go again. And so we go again out of that house of God. And we say, what shall we do with these men? What shall we do with that message? What shall we do with that law? What shall we do with that gospel? I will just silence it. I will go on. Let me alone. And I will continue to go on in my religion. Because my religion, that is enough for me. To go to church every Sunday. And I bow before the Lord, my knees in the evening, in the morning. And when I eat my meal. Oh, we live in such a dangerous, dangerous way. We live on the verge. We live on the threshold. Do you know what Paul says to the Hebrews? It is impossible that those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have received also the gifts of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the Word of God and of the world to come, taste it. These shall fall away, impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing that they crucify to themselves afresh the Son of God. There were two men in the Bible. We read they hanged themselves. They hanged themselves. Judas and Ahithophel. They were men that had light. Judas, he preached the word of God. He did miracles. Ahithophel, to receive counsel from Ahithophel, was as to approach, we read, the oracle of God. These men, they hanged themselves. Congregation, it is not enough to have light. We need a new heart. We need a heart that is humbled. We need to be brought in the dust of self-abasement before the Lord. What did David say? He says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There we have the difference. Will you remember that, children? There we have the difference. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That is what was present on the day of Pentecost. That is now what was missing with this Sanhedrin. By nature, then we say, what shall we do with these men? It is by grace and grace alone. The man, he says, men and brethren, what shall we do, O congregation, that we would not be so close to the kingdom of God and yet miss it in the end, all because we refused to bow, all because that we refused to become a sinner before God. And so in our life, and by our walk in our life, then we say, speak no more in the name of Jesus. Oh, then what a great difference is coming for those who have sat together in the house of God, who have sat together in the school, who have sat together in the families. The one shall be taken and the other left. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? Oh, it is our own guilt. It is our own fault. And we must acknowledge it. But we cannot and we will not. Oh, send forth then thy Spirit. Give us that what we have heard, that our hearts also may be pricked. We are cut to the heart. We rebel. We are offended. But bring us down. Make us submissive. Show us that we are a sinner before thee. And make thy dear Son to become so precious, so beautiful, yea, altogether lovely. Be with us further in this day. Help the student in this afternoon. And wilt thou be on his right and on his left. Give us also ears to hear, hearts to understand. Be with thy servant also in the midweek. And wilt thou bring us all up with desire. Oh, that we may have a desire to put away, to put aside for a moment, even in the midst of the week, the things of the world. Lord, we cannot give this to ourselves, but wilt thou give it in the midst of us and within us, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 415 stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. And what follows in stanzas 2 and 4 of Psalter 415, and the last collection today, is for the Synodical Education Committee.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.